This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian with you guys. Look, do we have lighter stories in the show today? Yes. Okay, will we have fun in the show today? Yes. But will we mainly have fun? No, I'm being honest with you guys. That's what we do. That's what you pay us the $4.99 for. To be honest with you guys, a whole $5 a month. Anyway, did I mention to you, tyt.com/join? All right, no, seriously guys, but there are a couple of very enraging stories today. So we're gonna get to one in a second here. But it's a wide variety. Later in the program, a mom gets attacked by feminists, so-called feminists. We will defend the mom. So lots of craziness in today's news. But I wanna tell you one last thing before we get started with the actual news of the day. Casper is gonna join me on a very special episode of Old School. So that's tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. He's live.
Quickest graphic of all time.
I know, there was like, yeah, let's just get her off the screen right away, okay? So freely available to everybody, the first episode, that's at 10 o'clock Eastern tonight. Make sure you check it out right here, okay? And then—
come on, look at that picture though, come on.
Yeah.
Cassie Hanks. You get it, girl. You okay. Get it. No, look at that picture that she took of me. Yeah. With that crazy hair, look at all sexy.
Okay, if you say so, sister, if you say so. Okay, so by the way, there's a second episode, another 45 minutes. That's just for the members, tyt.com/join. All right, tomorrow, by the way, make sure you're catching the conversation. The conversation you know is before the Young Turks. It's at 5:30 p.m. Eastern every day. Tomorrow, the Nina Turner, by the way, also Odessa Kelly, the new Justice Democratic candidate that's gonna replace corporate Democrat down in Tennessee. So it's an action-packed show tomorrow on The Conversation, check that out.
I feel bad for other Nina Turners because she is in fact the Nina Turner.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for other Cenk Uygurs because they don't exist. That allows me to be actually the Cenk Uygur. But for other Nina Turners, yes, yeah. You will not show up in Google searches.
Sad day.
Okay, all right, Casper.
All right.
Reports are coming in that hundreds have been injured in fresh clashes in Jerusalem. Police have fired stun grenades and tear gas at stone-throwing demonstrators inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Plans to evict Palestinian residents from East Jerusalem to make room for Jewish settlers have fueled protests that escalated over the weekend.
Unfortunately, tensions have flared after the Israeli government had made the decision to evict Palestinians from their homes in East Jerusalem in order to make room for new housing for Jewish settlers. This has sparked a new round of conflict, clashes between Palestinians and Israeli forces in Jerusalem. The tensions have been fueled by the planned eviction of, you know, that graphic says dozens, but in reality, it's hundreds of Palestinians from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of East Jerusalem, where Israeli settlers have waged a lengthy legal battle to take over properties. Israel's Supreme Court postponed a key ruling Monday in the case, meaning today, citing the circumstances. They argue that making a decision right now would be a risky one, considering the fact that clashes are currently happening. That makes one wonder whether they've already determined that they're going to side with the Israeli government in pushing Palestinians out of their homes. But to learn a little more context into this story, let's go to this next video that does a pretty good job summarizing how this conflict came about.
There's also another issue that is fueling those tensions is the potential eviction of four Palestinian families from one of the Palestinian neighborhoods in Sheikh Jarrah in annexed East Jerusalem. We have been talking to one of the daughters of one of the families. They are facing eviction in favor of Jewish settlers. Let's have a look. Muna Al-Kurd is documenting everything that happens here for social media. Her family is one of four families facing eviction from their homes in the Palestinian neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah in East Jerusalem. Right-wing settlers could soon move in here. This is our life. As Palestinians, we are the owners of the land. We lived here legally and everything is documented legally. They come here and occupy the place and they want to occupy what remains of the neighborhood. This part of their house has already been taken over by Jewish settlers a decade ago, just like across the street where settlers moved into this house. They claim parts of this neighborhood is actually their land and have waged a lengthy court battle against the families.
These evictions break international law. In fact, the homes where the Palestinians live were established for Palestinian refugees after the Israeli-Jordanian war that happened in 1948. So that's important context to understand. Hamas has retaliated, and we'll get to that part of the story in just a second. But Cenk, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different elements in this story. There's the Sheikh Jarrah that started this issue in the first place. There's the raid of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and then there's the rocket fire back and forth. And of course, ultimately, the main issue is the occupation. So first on Sheikh Jarrah, let's be clear. Those are people that were evicted from their land when Israel formed in 1948 and rolled tanks over their homes. Now, these settlers say, well, I bought this back in a long time ago, and they claim the original deeds were from 1876. And so if they owned it all that time ago, over 100 years ago, then it must be theirs. So this is one thing I cannot stand about the Middle East. I used to own it before you used to own it, but I used to own it before you used to own it. My ancestors owned it 2,000 years ago, 200 years ago. Okay, if we're going back to 1876, why can't we go back to 1875? Guess who owned it then? My ancestors, the Turks. Okay, now I want it back. No, Israeli settlers, get the hell out. It's my land. Now that's absurd, right? That's absurd. Why are we having a conversation about 1876? That's equally absurd. Now the people in that house, even if you believed that nonsense, were the people who were evicted. So can they go back and get their homes? They have land deeds, they have trust, they have property deeds, etc. Can they go back and get their homes? No, they cannot. The Palestinians cannot get their homes, their former homes in Israel. Why? Because they have, let's be honest about it, and there's no dispute about this, an explicitly racist ideology that Palestinians are not allowed to have their homes. They're not allowed to have their homes back. They're not allowed to have the new homes. They're not allowed to have the old homes because they're Palestinians. Period. Period. There's no other justification. They're Palestinians. They are not allowed to have their homes, right? Well, that's the definition of racism. So that's what current policy is in Israel. So should those people be removed from Sheikh Jarrah? Absolutely not. It would be literally a war crime to violate the peace treaties that are in place to evict them. Now, why are they doing it? You had to read 12 stories to get to why it's doing it. And then it was stated as why. They just throw it in as a aside. Netanyahu's having trouble forming a government.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. So last week he couldn't form a government. Now his opponents are trying to form a government this week. So what does Netanyahu do? Okay, let's shake things up a little bit. Let's shake up the Sheikh Jarrah thing, and then let's raid Al-Aqsa Mosque so that Hamas will be forced to respond. And when they do, we'll pretend that we're aggrieved and we're the victims. And now big bad Netanyahu will save you by murdering more Palestinians. That is Netanyahu's strategy, flat out. And what do they do in the rocket attacks? They Hamas attacked just as expected, one person lightly injured, okay? When Israel retaliates, and it's their first retaliation, there's a lot more to come, 20 dead, including 9 children. Oh, golly gee, we missed the Hamas activists and militants again. Again, we murdered your children. Re-elect me, I'm Benjamin Netanyahu. So Netanyahu is one of the worst, racist, most oppressive, and honestly, dictators in the world. You say, well, that's not fair, you won an election. He won an election in West Bank? I don't think so. Did he win an election in Gaza? I don't think so. No. But he occupies those lands as a dictator and murders innocent civilians and children whenever he likes. So that's what a dictator does.
Yeah, I think your assessment is actually 100% right, because this came out of nowhere, right? All of a sudden, there's this, I mean, look, there had been previous efforts to evict Palestinians from their homes and build additional settlements or additional housing for Jewish settlers. However, this form of aggression seemed to come out of nowhere and was much more aggressive than what was previously seen in regard to this particular part of the conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians. For instance, the fact that you had Israeli forces enter the mosque and use the type of aggression that they did, including flash grenades and other weaponry, obviously gives you the sense of who the aggressors were initially. And then you're right, as soon as Hamas retaliates, then you hear all of these calls for, you know, Hamas to step down, don't act. You get the Biden administration both sidesing this story as if, you know, they both engaged in this simultaneously and there wasn't an initial aggressor, when in fact there was. And I do want to also show you some footage of what it looked like inside the mosque. They didn't just do this one night. They have now done this two nights in a row. Take a look. And as far as the Jewish officials go, here's what we know. Israel does continue to deny that they're engaging in any type of ethnic cleansing. However, the deputy mayor of Israel had this to say. He said that, of course, part of the wider strategy, it's part of a wider strategy of placing layers of Jews throughout the eastern half of the city. The goal, Mr. King said, is to secure the future of Jerusalem as a Jewish capital for the Jewish people.
There's no question. And when you are trying to place Israeli settlers in the middle of Arabs, so later you can claim, hey, there's just too many Jews there to give it back. That is the definition of ethnic cleansing. We would like to cleanse the Muslims out of here, replace them with other people, and then claim, well, sorry, we can't give it back to the Muslims now because we already ethnically cleansed too many of them. So look, people have attachment to Israel for a number of different reasons in America. And it blinds them from obvious things. So first of all, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They say, oh, there was some agitation inside the mosque and we had to just go and raid it with all of the material we already had ready. We already had the stun grenades ready. We had all these cops, everything ready to raid the mosque with a significant force. They injured over 300 people and put over 220 in the hospital. And they said, well, some of the police were slightly hurt as well. Oh, I'm sorry, were you hurt in your raid of one of the holiest places in the world as you were brutalizing 300 innocent civilians? Oh, did you get a scratch? Did you get a hangnail? Is that what happened? So who do you believe? So the Israeli military and the government have lied almost every single time there's been a conflict. Yes, 2 weeks later, 6 months later, the New York Times writes a story in A17. Oh, by the way, everything the Israeli military said was a total and utter lie, right? So, and by the way, this is not particular to Israel. If you're a journalist, you should not automatically believe the government of any country. The Pentagon here in America lies all the time. As soon as an event happens, we're angels, the others are terrorists, etc. 6 weeks later, you find out we're the ones who bombed a wedding and murdered everybody inside. So that's happened. Now, Israel's judiciary is much better. Its press is mixed and interesting, etc. So don't make blanket judgments about anyone, okay? But their military, as a matter of course, lies about every confrontation, okay? So now, so that's clear on Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, and by the way, you can tell, because normally if there was anything that the Palestinians actually did, they'd be like, oh my God, a stone landed 7 feet from slot one. We have it on tape. A stone was thrown. It almost hit someone, right? They don't even have any of that. They don't have any of that. It's all lies, okay? And you see in tape after tape inside the mosque, they're praying, their shoes are off, they're inside a mosque, right? They're all scattered, it's chaotic. There's no organization, there's no barricades, there's no nothing. All right, now the occupation itself. Look, you gotta be honest with yourselves. It's explicitly racist. Why? Well, you say, well, the Palestinians should not be able to govern themselves. Why? They're too violent. You just admitted you're a racist. What do you mean the Palestinians are too violent? What does that mean? Answer the question. What does that mean the Palestinians are too violent? If they're not too violent, why can't they govern themselves? Well, you know, we need a cooling off period. It's been over 50 years. It's been over 5 decades. What are we waiting for? Okay, what are we waiting for? No. And by the way, the Palestinians, no matter what they do, oh, you're going to go to the United Nations, try diplomacy? It's unacceptable. It's a borderline terrorism to do diplomacy, right? They did a massive protest near the wall. How dare you get near the wall? They murdered the doctors and everybody else that came anywhere near the wall. And so you can't do a peaceful protest. You can't go to mosque. You can't do anything because you're a Palestinian and we despise you for being a Palestinian. Admit it, just admit it. It's a deeply racist policy. And if America is supporting it, America is supporting racism, explicit, obvious, over the top racism. So one more thing about this.
But let me just jump in. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Not only does the United States support it in the context of the conflict between Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, we support it here within our own borders. And in the case of our financial support, it doesn't matter how much Netanyahu reneges on agreements to stop building settlements. He continues to build the settlements in the Gaza Strip. We've seen these tensions flare over and over again. Things get pretty extreme in terms of the conflict every 4 years. So it's not shocking that this is happening again. And let me also note that I think the timing is important here because this coincides with Jerusalem Day, which do you want to jump in on that? Because I think that Netanyahu specifically chose this timing in order to increase his efforts to kind of deflect from the fact that he's failed to form a government, but also remember, he's also facing criminal corruption charges as well.
Yeah, and so in Jerusalem Day, they're supposed to march and show pride, etc. The Israelis are. Now, it's again, Israel is not a monolith. There's right wing, there's left wing, just like in America and just like in every country. But the ones that are the most militant are, just like in every country, the right wing, right? So they were going to march and they were going to march through Palestinian and Muslim neighborhoods. And then right before they do that, they raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque to make sure that the powder keg is lit. So why? Because Netanyahu has to, you know, can't form a government. So he's got to make sure that big bad Netanyahu is the only one who can protect the Israelis. This guy's Dick Cheney and Donald Trump rolled into one. Okay, he's one of the most loathsome figures in the world today. And the fact that America continues to support him, by the way, as he does not support America. He only supports America when Republicans are in charge.
Yep.
Now we have to blindly support this out of control rogue dictator who has oppressed millions of people for decades? No, the answer is no, we don't. And so anyone who goes along with that, look, it's cowardice. And so now the arrogance of the Israeli government is unparalleled. So but let me give it context, because one of our members, as always, smartest audience in the world, commented in Colorado Blue Blazer regular wrote in, curious timing, the US Congress agrees that our gajillions of dollars goes to Israel without conditions, and almost immediately the Israeli government goes violent, purely coincidental, I'm sure. Why is the United States government constantly saying no conditions? You just take all of our money, you do whatever you want, bash anyone's head in, murder anyone you like. We wouldn't do it with our greatest allies, Britain, Canada, and yes, Israel. Except Israel, we wouldn't do it with anyone but Israel. And so no, I refuse to not use normal human judgment when it comes to this magical country. Should we protect Israel? Of course. Should we also protect the Palestinians? In Washington, they think that is an abhorrent idea. Well, I'm here to tell you, the rest of us don't think it's abhorrent. We think you're racist for saying we should not protect the Palestinians. And then so finally in their arrogance, our diplomats called Israeli diplomats, and the Israeli government tells Biden administration, you better stay out of this.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you mean you better stay out of this?
And hold. Think about that statement And also consider the fact that in 2016, Obama's administration agreed to a $16 billion military funding program for Israel. I believe it was under Obama's watch that the US government built and funded the Iron Dome for yes. Israel in order to protect it from any adversaries. And yearly, we provide quite a bit of foreign aid to Israel, even though this is a country that provides universal healthcare to its citizens while well, you know what the situation in the United States is like.
Okay, so I love that we provide an Iron Dome for Israel because it protects their civilians. And by the way, when Hamas fired the rockets today, Iron Dome knocked out one of the rockets. So great job. Now, I'm going to say something radical that, and again, the rest of the country will agree with me and understand it easily. People in Washington will head their heads will explode. Okay, how about if we do Iron Dome for the Palestinians? Oh, outrageous. You mean protect Palestinian children as we would protect Israeli children? Well, of course not. Their lives are not relevant. They're not human. Who cares if Palestinian kids are murdered as they were today? That's your implicit answer to why the Palestinians can't be protected. I love that the Israelis are protected. Why can't we do likewise for the Palestinians? Because they're Palestinians. Okay, thank you for admitting that you're racist. It is a definitely, explicitly, inarguably racist. Last thing. So the guy says, stay out of our business, right? The Israeli ambassador. Okay, I'd be glad to. We'll take all of our money back right now. Oh, no. You have to give me all your money. Why? Why do I have to give it to you? I have to give you all billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. I have to give it to you as an American taxpayer. But I'm not allowed to criticize you when you crush civilians on purpose. And then I'm supposed to stay out of your business. No. We either stay out of your business by you giving us, not only us stopping giving you money, why don't you give us all our money back? Why don't you give us the hundreds of billions of dollars that we have given Israel? Why don't you give it back? Then we'll stay out of your business, okay? I didn't think so. So as long as you keep taking our taxpayer money, that's my money. That's my money. You want to take my money, then tell me to stay out of it? Well, as you go murder civilians? No deal, no deal. But of course, it doesn't matter what we yell and scream here. Let's be honest. Biden isn't going to do anything. He's going to kiss Israeli ass, and you know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody watching knows it. Every journalist and powerful person in Washington pretending to be outraged by that statement knows that.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
That is exactly what's going to happen. No one could possibly dispute it. He'll wag his finger at most, if he dares. And he'll say, oh, they should not do that. Both sides are guilty, but Hamas is more guilty. Hamas is terrorists, right? Wait, who killed the 9 kids? Israel did. No, they're not terrorists. Who didn't kill anyone? The Palestinians. Oh, they're the terrorists. Nah, the chance of the United States government being even-handed is impossible. I'll add one last thing. This has nothing to do with Jewish Americans. I need everybody to understand that crystal clear. Jewish Americans vote for Democrats at a rate of about 70%. They're one of the most solidly progressive groups in America, okay? But when it comes to the lobbyists for the Israeli government, like lobbyists for the Saudi government, the Turkish government, the Norwegian government, okay? Do they have outsized influence in Washington, as Ilhan Omar alluded to, which she got lambasted for? Everyone in Washington knows they have outsized influence. Everyone knows that. To claim otherwise would be absurdity. It would be ridiculous. Why do you think all of our politicians, both Republicans and Democrats, kneel down in front of one country? Is it because, oh, it's the Jews control everything? No, that's insane conspiracy theories. No, it's just as simple as why do they bow down in front of the oil companies, the drug companies, the banks, the payday lenders? Because our government allows for bribery. And other governments can bribe our government. It's total insanity. Total insanity. That's why Saudis can murder anyone they like as long as they keep spending that lobbyist money. That's the reality. People in Washington don't want to talk about it because it's ugly, because most of them take that blood money. That's just the reality. Whether it's the Saudis, the Israelis, the Ukrainians, the Russians, the Chinese, it doesn't matter. They all take the money and then they turn around, pretend to be outraged when you claim when you point out things that are super obvious.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a major pipeline in the United States is now suffering from a cyber attack. Infrastructure might have something to do with it. Does the federal government have a role? We have that story and more when we come back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Back on the Young Turks. Let me read our members' comments. Lark wrote in, "I'm a Jew and I'm not blinded. I have despised Netanyahu for years and years. There are many Jews around the world who are not blinded and who make their opinions known. Bibi doesn't give a damn. He's a narcissistic strongman who wants to rule and will do anything to keep his position." Look, again, there's this magical rule in DC. I, as a Turkish American, can tell you that I'm completely opposed to Erdogan, and there's nothing wrong with criticizing Erdogan, and nobody thinks otherwise. They think, yeah, that's of course, why not? That makes sense. But if you say you're opposed to Netanyahu, Erdogan's right wing, Netanyahu's right wing, people go, oh no, that's anti-Semitic. No, you can't say it. I don't care how awful, how horrible that the right wing leader of that particular country is, you're not allowed to criticize. No, wrong. You're not the boss of me. And you're not the boss of Lark, and you're not the boss of our members. We're all going to be united against right-wing hate, no matter where it comes from. JLR1951 says, Netanyahu just threw a box of squirrels into the Middle East. Unfortunately, they were packed with explosives, but yes. Theater Goddess says, Israel was founded as reparation for how Jewish people were victimized during the Holocaust. It's amazing that the government is using some of the tactics used against them, against the Palestinians. Now, you're not allowed to say that. In Washington, you'll be excommunicated forever if you say that. But you're one of our members, we do the show together. And the reality is, yes, the Germans did ethnic cleansing. Yes, right now Israel is doing ethnic cleansing. Are they putting people into gas chambers? No, they're not. Israel is not doing that. Are they murdering civilians? Yes, they are doing that. Is it at the scale of the Germans? No. Do they have ghettos where they keep people? Yes, actually that's more than the Germans. They keep millions of people in an outdoor prison. It's a camp of a sort, if you will, okay? So that's just reality. It makes people really uncomfortable. But what do you call that occupation? What do you call it? What do you call it? It's an outdoor concentration camp. They're not the only ones. The North Koreans have concentration camps. The Chinese now have the Uyghurs in concentration camps. But that's a reality.
Look, most Israelis, and this is a great thing, have been vaccinated with the coronavirus vaccine. Only about 5% of Palestinians have been vaccinated because there's just a blockade on humanitarian aid, on medical aid, obviously in this case, the vaccine. It's very clear that Palestinians are being treated as subhuman, and you gotta call it what it is.
Yeah, Jay Hufford writes in, Israel takes our money with one hand, slaps us in the face with the other. We wouldn't tolerate it with any other ally, and we do with them. Cray Cray Souffle says, I think we protect Israel and throw tons of cash at them because they have a whole lot of our nukes aimed at closer at our enemies there than in the US. No, that is not the reason why. We have nukes all over the world. We could reach anybody at any time. No, it has to do with the influence of money in Washington. People can cry all they want. That is a stone cold reality. By the way, other governments are idiots for not buying the American government at a larger scale. We'll be right back. Back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna. I told you that there would be rage in the show. Well, I think we delivered, but yeah. More where that came from.
Okay, all right. I'm curious where it's going to come out. Maybe in this pipeline story, so let's talk about it. The operator of Colonial Pipeline has halted its systems after it was hit with a ransomware attack. This is an attack where hackers are able to infiltrate the system and essentially steal quite a bit of data or shut down the entire system until they're paid a ransom. Now, Colonial Pipeline said in a vaguely worded statement that it had shut down its 5,500 miles of pipeline, which it says carries 45% of the East Coast fuel supplies. The pipeline transports 2.5 million barrels each day, taking refined gasoline, diesel fuel, and jet fuel from the Gulf Coast up to New York Harbor and New York's major airports. Now, the Biden administration has already weighed in on this. Earlier this morning, there was some talk of the Biden administration's upcoming executive order on the matter. I didn't know what that executive order was going to be. I was kind of perplexed by it, but it turns out that he has declared a state of emergency in order to obtain other methods of oil to ensure that oil prices don't increase to a point where people can't afford it. So we'll see how that plays out. But what's important to keep in mind here is that this pipeline is privately held. There is some talk about the lack of security measures necessary to avoid these types of ransomware attacks. And the pipeline, which has served the East Coast since the 1960s, is an example for sure of the country's aging infrastructure. It's just that in this case, we're talking about an aging infrastructure tied to a privately held company. In recent months, officials note the frequency and sophistication of ransomware attacks have soared, crippling victims as varied as the District of Columbia Police Department, hospitals treating coronavirus patients, and manufacturers, which frequently try to hide the attacks out of embarrassment that their systems were pierced.
So some of the people that do these attacks are despicable. Because, okay, you know, in the old days, Bonnie and Clyde were heroes because they were sticking to the man by robbing banks. These folks shut off the electricity to a hospital and say, unless you pay the ransom, people in that hospital are going to die because they're not on ventilators, etc. Right? And so a lot of times people pay the ransom. And in this case, okay, well, now you're not going to get the energy you need for this area. Now, for now, we're okay, right? But I don't know how long it's going to last, etc. Give us the ransom. And so this particular company, my heart doesn't break for, the pipeline's partly run by Koch Industries.
Yep.
Okay, sniffles. But overall, do we have a weakness in a system that is all designed to be on the web? Yeah, of course, of course, of course, no. And so there's actually a rare thing that I agree with the Republicans on. When they were talking about the 2020 elections and how there was fraud, it was provable lies. They lost 60 cases in a row in the courts, right? But if they say, hey, some of these things go, some portions of them before and after the voting go through an online system, let's verify that and let's verify the machines. Well, progressives have been saying that for years, maybe decades, mm-hmm. right? And then the establishment always tells us, no, we are so brilliant, all these private corporations and the United States government and all the state governments, that nobody could ever infiltrate any of our systems.
No.
Well, turns out that's not remotely true.
Yeah, let me jump in on that, because this is bringing up the topic of the country's crumbling infrastructure. And clearly, with these increased cyber attacks, the infrastructure needs to include cybersecurity measures so this type of behavior is mitigated. However, when you have a private company, a privately held company, and let me give you the details on who holds it. It's owned by several American and foreign companies and investment firms, including Koch Industries and Royal Dutch Shell. The pipeline connects Houston and the port of New York and New Jersey and also provides jet fuel to major airports. You guys get the picture. When you have privately held companies operating, you know, this pipeline or any other important aspect of life, like the energy grid, as we experienced in Texas. What do private companies want to do? What is their number one priority?
Ooh.
What is it?
Professor Kasparian, I have an answer. It's to be charitable to everyone in the community.
No. That's what this country would have you believe, but that obviously that's not true. Maximize gains. And cut your costs. And how do you cut costs? Do you cut costs by upping your security measures? Do you cut costs by improving your equipment, your infrastructure? I mean, over and over again, we've seen how much these private companies actually fail when it comes to investing, reinvesting their profits into their own companies. The only thing they're interested in reinvesting in is their own pockets, and that's exactly what's happening here. So while I commend the Biden administration for wanting to do something about infrastructure in the country, I am not open to having a conversation about public money going into these private companies who love to socialize losses, but privatize their gains, as we've seen over and over again.
100%. So look, the government contracts should be open to judging whether these companies can actually deliver what they're saying. So in this case, Anna's 100% right. So you probably cut costs in the short term, right? Oh, well, I mean, I could spend more on internet security, but I don't want to. And later, probably the government's gonna bail me out and they're gonna spend the money on my behalf. And then I'm just gonna keep all the profits and I'm gonna put all my costs on you, the American taxpayers. Because that's what us corporations are used to doing, because the corporate machines already took over the government. So, and then, but again, we're told they are demigods. The corporations know all and must rule us. They don't look like demigods today.
Yeah.
They look like jackasses today.
In fact, at first, there was some suspicion that the hackers were part of a foreign government. The Biden administration squashed that and said, no, this is not an action taken by Russia. This group of hackers known as the Dark Side have claimed responsibility for it. And they said, look, it's our job to try to get money. That's what we do. They just released a statement like that. I don't know if it's been confirmed that they're actually the ones who did this. But you know, if it's that easy for a group of hackers to hack a pipeline and halt the operation of literally one of the biggest pipelines, most important pipelines in the United States, well then obviously there's a giant failure. They failed here in protecting their systems and didn't do what was necessary to protect their own pipeline from hackers. I don't know if they're international. I don't know if they're based here in the United States. All I know is it's happened and it continues to happen, because if you privatize something and fail to regulate it, this is what you're gonna get.
Yeah, so look, it's likely that the Biden administration is telling the truth here, because if it was a foreign government or the Russians, they're quick to say it. Right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so now there's some chance that this might be a little bit different, because it's a private corporation, and that's the only thing that Trump's fears of Russia is protect the beloved corporations, right? At all costs. But we already know there was a massive infiltration by the Russians and the Chinese recently, right? According to the US government, of different parts of our infrastructure. But the thing that I want to point out finally is, the US government says, yes, the Russians have put in malware into our electrical system, our electrical grid here in the US, which they can then later use to shut things down. And they said, don't worry, because we put malware in their electrical grid too.
No, it's not what we want. It's not what we want. That's not what we're looking for.
Oh, okay, great. So then if they hit us, we'll punish innocent Russian civilians and they'll freeze in the middle of the winter. No, that's not the correct answer. The correct answer is do better. We send you trillions of dollars, which you then usually in subsidies direct back to your corporate friends who bribed you in the first place. Can you actually try serving the American people for once in your life?
All right, well, let's move on to something a little different, although it has to do with what these executives spend all of their money on. So Jeff Bezos did well for himself during the coronavirus pandemic, and so he needs a place to park all that money. What is he gonna do with it? He's got it. He's gonna spend $500 million on not a yacht, a super yacht. And I want to give you the details on this. So it's known as Project Y271, and it's currently being built by Dutch yacht maker Ocean Co. And it will be one of the largest yachts ever built in the Netherlands, with multiple decks and three masts spanning across its 417 foot length. The massive sails that will help steer the new super yacht meant there would be no room for a helipad. That's where the support yacht comes in, a smaller vessel that will be able to accommodate a helipad.
Oh, thank God.
So it's two yachts. It's a super yacht and then an accessory yacht for the helipad. You know, you need the helipad.
No, but understand. So I've seen ships, yachts, where they open up the bottom and then another ship from within the ship comes in, like a Russian doll or something, right? But this has a yacht so big within the yacht that you could land a helicopter on. That's the smaller yacht.
Yeah.
That's buried inside the super yacht. Well, so look, I think there's a misconception about progressives, and certainly I can't speak for all progressives. I can speak for myself. Do I mind yachts? No, yachts are lovely. Okay, you want to have a yacht? Bless your heart, right? But for God's sake, tax the rich. I mean, this guy doesn't know what to do with his money. He's like, I've got yachts within yachts. I've got yachts worse on top of yachts. Mm-hmm. And remember when the DeVosses complained during the Trump administration that their 10th yacht was unmoored by vandals? They're like, I do declare, what will we do with only 9 yachts? Okay. And so, by the way, they got it back. Don't worry, it was only $10,000 in damage, they say. So, and then Bezos probably called him and was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about damage, not to actual human beings, but to yachts, right? So Bezos has now $200 billion. You want to buy a $500 million yacht? Have at it, Hoss. But you should pay taxes.
No, exactly. I mean, because of Trump's tax cuts for the rich, which, you know, ironically did end up helping Jeff Bezos, who does not get along with Donald Trump. Amazon hasn't paid federal taxes for several years in a row now, since 2017.
Well, is the company's worth $1 trillion? Is that right?
Is somewhere in that ballpark? Obviously incredibly successful. There's absolutely no reason why they get away with paying nothing in federal taxes. So you're right on that point. But Jake, I think the problem that people have with yachts, I get what you're saying, right? Don't begrudge people who did well for themselves and they want to treat themselves here and there with like fancy luxury things. But it's just that the cost of first buying a yacht and then operating a yacht, it's only a very select few people who have accumulated all the wealth for themselves, which is why people have a problem with this. For instance, in order to operate this yacht and its little accessory yacht that comes along with it, Bezos is likely to spend a minimum of $60 million a year. $60 million a year. Let that sink in. And while his employees are literally found dead in Amazon warehouse bathrooms, a story that we'll talk about a little later on the show, because they're overworked, they're being monitored closely by management to ensure that they're being productive enough. They're obviously not getting paid enough during the pandemic, as they're being called essential workers and putting their lives and their bodies at risk, you know, working in these fulfillment centers, which in the beginning didn't even have the necessary protective gear to keep them safe. Bezos is like, I can't provide better healthcare for them. I can't provide better working conditions for them. I can't even provide better pay. Yes, they get paid $15 an hour. They certainly deserve more considering the fact that they're insanely productive for a company that's tremendously profitable. You know, but he would rather spend $500 million on a stupid mega yacht, which doesn't even account for a fraction of 1% of his wealth.
Yeah. By the way, quick fun side note, he bought the Washington Post for $250 million. That's half the price of the super yacht. Okay, so you see how we value things in this world. All right, now to Anna's point, you want to have a yacht? Fine, but then you can't tell me that you can't pay your workers. Nah, you can't tell me that they can't take bathroom breaks, that they have to pee in plastic bottles. You can't. Earlier in Amazon's history, they used to pay for ambulances because they didn't want to pay for air conditioning. They knew that people would pass out and sometimes die, but that's why they had the ambulance waiting in front of the warehouse. But they said the ambulance cost less than the air conditioning. You monsters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then when they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar on that, they changed that policy. Now they got caught with nobody can take a bathroom break, and they don't even care. They don't. Nope. You're not allowed to unionize. You're not. And then on top of that, we're not going to pay any goddamn taxes. No. Look, if a progressive was in charge, we wouldn't do the fake populism of Donald Trump and idiot MAGA and give them bigger tax breaks, give them bigger advantages, right?
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Yeah.
No, we say Amazon, I don't give a goddamn about your loopholes. They're now gone. You're going to pay 35%. We're going to go back to the old tax rate and we're going to eviscerate your loopholes. You make billions of dollars, you're going to pay 35% tax. And Jeff Bezos, I don't give a damn about your yacht and I want you to have the time of your life on your yacht, okay? But we're going to increase the top marginal tax rate to a massive amount. You make over $1 billion. Let's go back to the Eisenhower era when we had the best booming economy the world has ever seen. 91% for every dollar above $1 billion, okay? Because you obviously don't need it. You can't figure out how to spend it.
Yep.
You got yachts within yachts, okay? So, okay, well, go ahead, brother, go ahead. But don't come crying to us. Oh, I can't pay taxes. Oh, I can't pay my employees. Nah, you're choosing not to pay your employees when you're making you have $200 billion. What do you mean you can't pay your employees?
Yeah, look, I know we're running out of time, but there are other things that I have to mention. I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I don't. So he's not even considered a billionaire at this point. He's considered a centibillionaire.
Oh, well, good for him.
And currently he has a net worth of over $200 billion. Dropping half a billion for that super yacht will take about 1/4 of 1% of that. So I just want you guys to let that sink in for a second. $500 million isn't even 1% of his wealth. It is a fraction of 1% of his wealth. One other thing I also want to mention is, well, you know, Jeff Bezos, he's an anomaly, right? I mean, it's not like there's this big market out there for super yachts. No, wrong. The tremendously wealthy people across the globe are spending money on these yachts. In fact, if anything, demand for extravagantly high-end yachts has outstripped supply. It's impossible to get a slot in a new build yard. They're totally booked. In total, there are about 50 boats longer than 100 meters currently under construction. And then this is my favorite part, Cenk. I know that you'll appreciate this. So what's up with like the rich people have always loved yachts, right? But lately it seems like they're on fire. Like they really, really want to make sure that they get like the best yacht, as many yachts as possible. Well, with galas canceled and land borders closed, yachting suddenly seemed the best option for private, socially distanced leisure and a good way to escape from the prying eyes of the public. In fact, one yacht interior designer told Bloomberg Wealth, clients can enjoy life at sea for long periods of time without having to go mix with others.
I do declare we wouldn't want any mixing with the riffraff. With actual human beings that we make them urinate into plastic bottles.
All right, if progressives win, There will no longer be wait lists on yachts, okay? We're gonna be busy taxing that money and using it for education of real Americans and your kids. We're gonna be using it for your healthcare so 45,000 people a year don't die while Jeff Bezos makes $200 billion. By the way, that's after his divorce. I did the math on how much his wealth compared to the net worth of the average African-American family in America. Okay, jeez. So you know how much that yacht would cost you relatively if you're an average black family in America? $25.
Man.
To him, $500 million, $500 million is the equivalent of $25 for the average African-American family in this country. Okay.
We do math here, guys.
Yeah,
we do math.
We do math. And they say, oh, no, no. We just don't have the money for taxes. No, you do. Put a progressive in charge. We'll show you real populism, not the corruption that the Republicans do. We'll show you populism where we actually take care of our own citizens and not the richest people in the world so they could have $300 or $400 billion that they don't need.
Now we're gonna take a break. Now would be a great time for you to go out there and mix with others. And when we come back, we'll discuss a pretty devastating and tragic situation in Bessemer, Alabama at an Amazon warehouse where one of their workers was found dead. Come right back.
I'm going to stick with our member section here. Please join us at tyt.com/join. Your comments get read more often, and I love you guys being part of the show. Sword of Words wrote in, Cenk, the rant of what I thought was a madman is what made TYT my home. You showed me the receipts, then I joined. P.S. Anna, you hold your own quite well, pal.
Thank you.
So, no, but I love that comment because when I raise my voice, people in Washington go, I do declare, he seems rather animated. Okay,
he's quite uncivil.
Yes, very uncivil. We are very civil as we shovel all of the money to our corporate friends. Very, very civil. We rob you blind, but in a very polite way.
Mired in controversy.
Yes, I am in fact mired in controversy, okay? But if you actually listen, as Sword of Words points out, like, yeah, he's actually right. And she's actually right. Holy cow, they're really right. That's because we actually give you truth, the reality, the facts, and we back it up every time. Anna's Margarita Salt writes in, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that Jeff Bezos' favorite Halloween costume growing up was his Scrooge McDuck outfit. Yeah, and by the way, Bezos, for all of his presumed intelligence, he's not very good at PR. If I was him and I had $200 billion, I would be constantly visibly giving away my money. So people say, oh, what a great guy Jeff Bezos is. Instead, he's like, crush the workers, but call me on my yacht, I do declare. Not the mini yacht, but the larger yacht, right? So I don't think he's that bright, to be honest. And he's asking for a political reckoning. The problem is there's currently zero people in Washington that can deliver that reckoning for him. Let's change that. NinaTurner.com/hello. Okay, we say hello to Jeff. LMG15 wrote in, Bezos is rich enough to be Batman and Santa Claus. Now he's building Noah's Ark, tax the rich. That's an apt analogy. Tommy Too Strong wrote in, Bezos helped yacht, helipad yacht does not go inside the main yacht like Russian dolls. It's a support vessel.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. But you were on a roll, so I just kind of
okay,
let it go.
Okay, I got you.
It'll accompany the big yacht.
Like, okay, sorry, I didn't know.
But it's still a yacht. It's a second yacht. It's the accessory yacht.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Tommy Too Strong explains accurately, and thank you for correcting me. It's part of his fleet. Basically, he's creating his own navy to go along with his space fleet.
Yeah.
That's also true. That's amazing. Bart Kyle, i.e. Our audio engineer, wrote in, it's official, Bezos is a supervillain like Lex Luthor. In Justice League, where was Lex Luthor at creating the Legion of Doom? a freaking yacht. You're right, I just watched it with the kids. He was on a yacht creating the Legion of Doom. And so, where's the Justice League, by the way? A, you're looking at it, and B, there are other parts. There are other parts, as they are creating, we are creating. So stay right here, okay? Speaking of which, Kara Curley, Christopher Mailpours, and Daniel Hernandez all just joined by hitting the join button below. You do it at the $4.99 level, and you get the bonus episode every day that Anna and I are gonna do today. And old school is at the premium level if you hit the join button below on YouTube. Check that out too, because again, you'll get a whole nother episode of old school tonight. We'll be right back. Back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. We got more Bezos stories. So I know you guys have more comments. I'll work them in. Let's do it.
All right. So an Amazon worker in Bessemer, Alabama was found dead in the bathroom. The worker was taken to the hospital shortly after his own colleagues found him. But unfortunately, after he was taken to the hospital, it was declared that he did not make it and was in fact dead. Now, Amazon is remaining tight-lipped about this. We don't know the identity of the worker and we don't know the actual cause of death. But what we do know is that Amazon has a long history of working conditions that its own workers have complained about, working conditions where they're expected to be on their feet for 10 hours at a time. Their bathroom breaks are monitored, their productivity is monitored, and the working conditions are incredibly difficult for some of their older warehouse employees, which is why workers in Bessemer, Alabama attempted to unionize. And unfortunately, we're met with resistance, pretty vicious resistance from its executives. Now, I do want to also highlight specific examples of how workers have been treated in the past. For instance, back in 2019, one Amazon worker in Ohio named Billy Foister died of cardiac arrest while he was on his shift. And he was left lying on the ground for 20 minutes before anyone came to help him. In fact, his brother at the time was outraged for obvious reasons and said, "How can you not see a 6'3" man laying on the ground and not help him within 20 minutes? A couple of days before, he put the wrong product in the wrong bin, and within 2 minutes, management saw it on camera and came down to talk to him about it." In fact, Foister had gone to their health clinic, Amazon's health clinic, to complain about some chest pains he was experiencing. And they told him, "Oh, you're fine, you're just dehydrated, get back to work." He did, and he died from cardiac arrest. So that's a specific example, but there are many other examples to point to when it comes to the working conditions in these warehouses.
Yeah, so let's take this one step at a time. So is Amazon guilty if someone dies of a heart attack at work? No, not necessarily. People die of heart attacks and sometimes it's at work, right? But here, there's a couple of situations that I think are more pertinent. Number one, the guy complains of chest pain and they basically tell him, "Have a drink of water, go back to work." And then he dies a week later from chest pain, the heart attack that he got, right? So do we think the Amazon employees and their medical centers are incentivized to drive people back to work? Well, I'd be very curious about internal communications there, right? And so my guess is they're gonna get sued and they're gonna settle because they don't want people to find out the internal communications of what they tell their medical personnel about driving people back to work, no matter what kind of conditions they have, right? Number two, the brother is certainly right. He says, "And you put something wrong in the wrong bin," mm-hmm. They're on it like that, right? And I actually, the thing that I was most surprised about this story is that It took them 20 minutes to find out he was in the bathroom. Because normally, if you overstay in the bathroom, they come for you, right?
Right.
Like, you're not allowed to go past a certain number of minutes in the bathroom. They're watching you like a hawk. Every millisecond is being watched.
Right. I think you might be mixing up two stories, though, because I don't know how long the Amazon worker was dead in the bathroom. But the second story that I brought up from 2019, a worker had cardiac arrest and just collapsed in the middle of the warehouse and didn't get help for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's amazing. I thought they were both in the bathroom, to be honest. Okay, thank you for the clarification. Mm-hmm. So now, one more thing about that, and I think the most important one. In several of these instances, the management says to the others, get back to work.
Yes, yes.
Now, wait, no. Guys, come on, man. There's gotta be some humanity. Is there no, and there isn't. The corporate machines have taken over. There's not a shred of humanity left. We live in a science fiction movie. And by the way, there's two different worlds. If a company like ours, a small company without much power, and one that's progressive and cares, did 1% of that. Well, I would be enraged, right? But we would be shut down within the week, right? People would be like, how could you? Amazon's like, oh, someone died. The guy next to you, that works next to you, presumably right. Your friend is someone you've seen every day. He dies right in front of you. Back to the mines, back to work, okay? Mm-hmm. Never mind the dead body there. There's no bounds of reason, man.
Yeah, one employee who spoke to The Guardian at the time said that they were forced to go back to work, and then also said this, no time to decompress. Basically, watch a man pass away, then get told to get back to work, everyone, and act like it's fine. And so, look, there's obviously a culture there that makes it abundantly clear to the workers that the profits of the company certainly outweigh the importance of their own lives and their own health. And that's the reason why Amazon workers in Bessemer, Alabama were trying to unionize. So even though we don't know what the cause of death was for the specific employee who died in Bessemer, the one who was found in the bathroom, it is important to put his death in the context of that particular fulfillment center. And I do want to just quickly go to this video because I want you to hear it from the workers' mouths, not from me. These are actual workers from Bessemer, Alabama, who wanted to share their perspective on what it's like to work in that warehouse.
10, 11 hours a day, standing on your feet, just two breaks. It's stressful. It's tiring.
Daryl Richardson, one of the warehouse's 5,000 plus workers, is a picker, gathering products for customer orders at the rate of about one every 8 to 10 seconds.
Every time I hit the button, it just like goes consistent over and over again. So I'm studying like this all day.
So you're talking like 4,000 separate packages in a day?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Every day?
Every day.
But it's more than just the work that bothers Richardson.
They don't respect you. You mistreat it. It's just unfair.
Unfair how?
I've seen that happen twice. I've seen a young man get fired for going on the conveyor belt.
A safety concern, says Jennifer Bates.
But there are no signs that say don't go up under the belt. So I felt that that was unfair.
And when Bates was subjected to a random security check one day.
You have to empty your pockets, take off your shoes, shake your shoes and be scanned and all that stuff. So as I'm putting my shoes on and putting my vest and stuff back on, so I asked her, do I get this time back for my break? She said, no.
I'm 51. About 3 o'clock, I can't give no more. I'm finished. Your legs be sore, feet be sore. And when you go home, only thing you want to do is lay down and go to sleep.
10 hours, I think it's too much to have anybody work for a shift at Amazon. People have fainted, fallen out. I've seen people come out of there in wheelchairs.
They shake down their own employees during their breaks, and then they're not allowed to get that time back during their breaks. That's in Bessemer, Alabama.
Yeah. Guys, we're in a science fiction movie. We just are.
It's a dystopia.
We started these machines and we programmed them to maximize profit and crush everything in their path. And they have. Look at how they're crushing their workers. On the same exact day, we just did a story about how Jeff Bezos bought a $500 million super yacht. They shake down their employees, like take off your shoes. They degrade them, take off everything. We assume you're a thief. And we're gonna take time to search your body, right? And then Well, I only had a very tiny amount of time for lunch. Well, now I don't care. Now you have less time. This is how cruelly they treat everybody. Meanwhile, the guy's in a super yacht.
Paying his taxes.
Yeah. Look, so many of you wrote in, but Dr. Zippy McScoots on a YouTube super chat. Of course, Jeff Bezos needs a $500 million super yacht. It'll be his mobile super villain lair. And they do, they act like super villains. They have no mercy. Nobody says, hey, listen, 4,000 packages, I know you want to be efficient, and that's a competitive advantage. We get it, right? But there's some chance that people are going to collapse and die of heart attacks if you're making them do 4,000 packages a day, right? If you only give them a 30-minute lunch break, if you only give them literally a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, for a bathroom break, and if they take longer, they're going to be docked, et cetera. They've attached us to these machines, and we're on the conveyor belt, right? Meanwhile, they're on supervillain super yachts. And no, we gotta change it. The way to change it is to end legalized bribery in this country, so the corporations cannot buy our government. They buy every politician. And look, Shane McAndrew wrote in on YouTube Super Chat. Remember when Soledad O'Brien wagged her finger at Bernie Sanders for criticizing Bezos? She's supposed to be a journalist, right? And then we have the journalists that go out and say, how dare you besmirch the wonderful reputation of Jeff Bezos and Amazon. Of course they should pay nothing in taxes. To be fair, Soledad didn't say that they should pay nothing in taxes, but she did wag her finger at Bernie Sanders for trying to stick up for their workers. And those are our journalists, right? Corporate media and other corporate machine backing the other corporate machines and the corporate politicians that funnel all of our money and all of the advantages to them. That's the reality of America, and it's brutal.
That does it for hour one. Stick around for hour two, where we're going to cover my favorite story, a worker strike for the Washingtonian magazine after its CEO penned a terrible op-ed. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.